Father, bless these words to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 17. In verse 10, the Word of God says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. He says, He searches the heart and He tries the reins. Now, in the verse prior to that, he just said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then he says, I search this heart and I try your reins. So that tells me that I have to be very careful, not with only my heart, but also with the reins. Now, the reins are referring to the emotions. In the original language, the word is kilia, and it refers to kidneys. But really, it's referring to emotions. Because in the Hebrew, they didn't have words for emotions. And so they would use these manonyms, words like kidneys or reins or bowels, to indicate emotions and the character of the emotions. Kidneys put out what they take in. Okay, they filter something and put something out. They filter something and put something out. Bowels as well. They put out what they take in. He's saying, I try your emotions. Tonight we're going to continue in our series on the anatomy of a believer, and we will be talking about the second portion of the soul, which is the emotions. Now, the emotions, we have to understand how they work. They are not intended to be our thought center. Albeit, most people nowadays base their decisions on their emotions. Christians also very frequently base their decisions on their emotions. How does it make them feel? Is this pleasing? Is this something that they enjoy? And so on. They base on their predicted emotional responses to something. They'll base their relationships on their emotions. How does this person make me feel? They base their responses on their emotions. Does this make me feel good or does this make me feel bad? If it makes me feel good, I'm happy and I'll be positive. If it makes me feel bad, I'm unhappy and I'm negative. They continuously, in some cases, base everything on their emotions. Our culture teaches this. When you base things on emotions, it really leads into iniquity. Iniquity is that emotional component of rebellion. And put emotions and rebellion together and you have really evil, emotional rebellion against God. That was what happened to Lucifer. Emotions are risky. Now, we have to understand that God created us with emotions. So on the one hand, they can be risky. On the other hand, they were designed by God. Jesus had emotions. He stood before Jerusalem and he wept. These were emotions. He wept at Lazarus's grave. These were emotions. There were times when he was angry. These were emotions. In the temple where he overthrew the tables. These were emotions. He was jealous over his father's house. This was an emotion. It's not wrong for us to experience emotions. The thing about our emotions is they have to have the right source. Because if they have the right source, then they will be correct emotions according to the heart of God. If they have the wrong source, they will frequently find themselves in opposition to God. So the Word of God says that the Lord searches the heart and He tries the emotions, the reins. The word search there is kakar, and it means search through, examine and investigate. It's almost like a detective or a scientist who is investigating something, picking through it, finding out the different components and what makes them work. He's examining very carefully the contents of our heart. Remember that the heart is the frame of reference. So he's examining very carefully our frame of reference and what is in that frame of reference. Then he says he tries the reins. The word try there is bakon, and it means to test, to prove, to examine, and to scrutinize. Now, God says this about our emotions, that he scrutinizes our emotions. Because there is something extremely revealing within those emotions. And then he continues, and he really ups the ante. He says, even to give every man according to his ways. That means that I'm going to get according to the ways of what? Well, it's all connected to my emotions and my frame of reference. One way or another, our emotions are going to play a huge role in our frame of reference, number one, in our volition. They're going to play a huge role in the way that we perceive things. They're going to play a huge role in our self-image, in our identity, in our conscience. Our emotions play this huge role. So we cannot neglect our emotions. I think it's very easy for us to do so, thinking, well, I'm getting built up in the Word, I'm taking care of my soul, when all we're really doing is putting content into the mind. But that content must be passed on in such a way that it becomes substance whereby the emotions have something to respond to. If I mix faith with what I hear, I give my emotions something to respond to. If I don't, if it's simply intellectual, they'll respond. But they won't necessarily respond to the content and the substance of the Word of God. They may respond to an appreciation that the intellect has something more. But then they'll start responding to everything else also. The emotions are not discriminating. In other words, they will respond to absolutely anything that's sent their way. They will not discriminate. In that way, they work the same way as our subconscious mind. Whatever I expose them to, they will respond. And then he connects it to one more thing. He said, I'll give it to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So the emotions are also connected to the fruitfulness of a believer. Now, Pastor Stevens, in his message, Beautiful for Situations, brought out a very good point. The situation that we find ourselves in, we need. Sometimes the situation will reveal things to me about myself that I didn't necessarily know. One of the ways it does that is through my emotions. The emotions are an extremely useful gauge, although it's not something that we think with. If my emotions are healthy and good, that means often that the condition of my soul is also healthy and in good shape. But if my emotions are not healthy or not good, then sometimes that means that my soul is not healthy and hasn't been well kept. Now, that can happen for several different reasons. Eve responded in her emotions when she talked to the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. She had a desire and she responded in her emotions. Adam responded also in his desire to be one with Eve. That was also an emotional response. Then together they responded again in their emotions when they hid themselves because they were afraid since they knew they were naked. These were all emotional responses. But why could they be brought to the place of these emotional responses in the negative sense? Because Satan attacked their relationship to the Word of God. He attacked the character of God by attacking what God had said. And he got them to stop trusting what God had said. When they stopped trusting what God had said was when they started to have problems. And the problems that left their emotions vulnerable. In other words, there was no word of God covering for their emotions any longer. And that was the goal. Satan's goal in that conversation was to remove the word of God covering. When he successfully removed the word of God covering, utilizing the emotions, he got them to become self-conscious. Eve, you always wanted to be like the angels, right? You wanted their wisdom. That's what she was lusting after. She wanted the wisdom of the angels. And when he got her to be self-conscious through her emotions, then he could manipulate her into pretty much anything. Self-consciousness is the biggest enemy that my emotions have. Any emotional problems that I may have, unless they're organic in nature, but any other than that, any kind of an emotional problem I may have has its roots in self-consciousness. Perhaps it's something that I want and I'm not getting it, and the fact that I'm not getting it is really stressing me out. Perhaps it's something that people say, maybe I'm insecure, and it really brings out emotions in my life, and it brings these negative emotions, negative feelings, stuff perhaps that I can't deal with. And when things touch on my insecurities, I have these emotional responses, either perhaps toward hostility or defensiveness, or perhaps to withdrawal. Whichever it is, I get these emotional responses. There's always a root in self-consciousness when there's a problem in my emotions that's not organic. Fear is another one. How many people are afraid? They're very anxious, they get very nervous, they're scared about tomorrow. You know, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to be scared about tomorrow, because tomorrow is a concept. And so long as tomorrow isn't here, my brain can do anything it wants with it. Satan can utilize this natural fear in me, project to me that tomorrow will have a negative result or a negative outcome. And my emotions really kick in. And I get very anxious, I get frustrated, I get afraid, I'm nervous about everything, and people end up with all kinds of problems. And you go to the doctor, and the doctor, I'm very anxious, I have anxiety problems, the doctor puts you on medication. Well, really, all it was the fact that I was afraid of tomorrow. But the only reason why somebody is afraid of tomorrow is because they have not learned to trust the character of God. Not so much for tomorrow, but for today. If I trust the character of God for today, then I know that today will establish and set up my tomorrow. So I learn to trust God's character for today, and then I know that tomorrow is taken care of. But when I think to myself, well, tomorrow all these bad things could happen. Well, so long as God's word isn't true, maybe you're right. But I believe that it's always been true. That the word of God is immutable. That it's all God breathed. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That God is no respecter of person, that he should take care of one, but not the other. God doesn't operate that way. In my human thinking, and this is frequently because we relate to God as though he was a person. Maybe we've had bad experiences with people. And we saw people that we relied on or perhaps trusted, and maybe they let us down. And we think God is going to let us down too, because maybe these were people that we looked up to. Maybe they were a parent. Maybe a dad. Often when kids have dads that aren't really great dads, their ability to relate to God is challenged. Maybe we had a dad who wasn't all that. And now my ability to relate to God is really challenged, because I still see God the same way I saw Dad. Well, God is not Dad. He's your father, but he's not Dad. Dad was a faulty human just like me. But God is a perfect God who loves with perfect love, who's faithful with perfect faithfulness, who's kind with perfect kindness, who's gentle with perfect gentleness, who's got all wisdom and all power, and anything that he thinks toward me, in Jeremiah 29:11, is good and not evil. Even if I'm in sin, He's still thinking good and not evil toward me. If I'm doing great, He's thinking the same good and not evil. How I'm doing does not in any way affect the way that God thinks toward me or the way that He sees me. I may be having the best day in the world, He still sees me as great. I may be having the worst day in the world, and He still sees me as equally great. His love doesn't change with my disposition, with my behavior, with my attitude. His love is not changeable because it's the essence of His character. And so we relate to God as though He was this faulty human. We cannot relate to God that way and be able to trust Him. But when I realize that God is not a man that He should lie, and it also says that He's not the Son of Man that He should change His mind, then I know that God can be trusted for today and for tomorrow. I know that God can be trusted for everything and anything. I know that God can be trusted because He holds tomorrow. Tomorrow is only a reality in God's perspective. It is not a reality in ours. Now, it may become a reality, and for many people it will become a reality, but there will eventually be a day where for us all, tomorrow is not a reality. And so which day that is, I have no idea. We don't even worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, take no heed for tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. In other words, the details thereof. The issues you got to deal with. You got enough today. Don't worry about tomorrow. That really cuts against the grain. Because we are told, plan for tomorrow. Well, yeah, in the worldly sense, in the, you know, finances and all that, yeah, we do plan for tomorrow. But as far as my fears go, as far as my relationship to God goes, as far as even trusting for the temporal for tomorrow, I don't have any fears about that. Because God takes care of those things. We think too much of God as being up there. But He's not up there. He never claimed that He was up there. Where did He claim to be? In here. In the heart. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Almighty God. We are that temple. Within us dwells the fullness of the Godhead. And so we know that all that God is resident within us. We are His abode, and that's not going to change. And so these emotions that come our way, they can only turn negative when I don't mix faith with the character of God as the Bible describes Him. If I do, I can completely have faith rest. I can completely have peace that passes understanding. I can have complete assurance in my life of the things of God and what I come to God with. I don't have to have these emotional turmoils in my life. Everyone, every believer will live in their emotions. We can't help that. It's a part of us. The question is, what is the source? Now, just the same way as so much of the body is left and right. You have a left brain, you have a right brain. You have a left lung, you have a right lung. You have a left kidney, you have a right kidney. Emotions are the same way. You have a left emotion and you have a right emotion. Right emotions are geared toward that which is natural. Left emotions are geared toward the spirit. We want to live in our left emotion. Jesus always lived in His left emotion. He never lived in His right emotion. Always in His, as a man, always in His left emotion. Because that was the part of Him that was responding to the Holy Spirit. That was the part of Him where He had this communion going on with God. That was the part of Him where He could weep and at the same time not be an emotionally controlled man, but have tremendous compassion or even tremendous wound. Yet he was not an emotionally controlled man. Why? Because he was in his left emotion. People who live in their right emotions are frequently controlled by their emotions. We don't want its naturally responding emotions. We don't want our emotions to respond to the natural things. You know, the natural things change on a dime. Today is bad, tomorrow is good. The next day is bad, the next day is good. Get a good stretch for a little while, get a bad stretch for a while. Can happen any moment. People can be like that too. They can change on a dime. Somebody's having a great day, cross them, and now they're having a terrible day. You have a great relationship with someone, say the wrong thing, you have a horrible relationship with someone. And so you can't really trust these right emotions, because the right emotions respond to all of that. But the left emotion is in tune with the Holy Spirit. And really, in a manner of speaking, the left emotion is the conduit for the Holy Spirit's emotions to be expressed. And so we can have these emotions of God, and God will test and scrutinize what these emotions are. Are we in that left emotion, or are we in that right emotion? Are we mixing faith and therefore living in the left emotion, the healthy part of the emotional spectrum, or are we not mixing faith and living in the unhealthy part of the emotional spectrum? He's scrutinizing these things because they indicate to a large extent the condition of our souls. We can take those also. Are you someone who has healthy emotions? Would you, or do you say you are someone with perhaps a lot of turmoil in your emotions? There's a lot of turmoil in your emotions. That means you need to get built up more adequately, more properly, more thoroughly. And you say, well, I'm already listening to a message and reading a few chapters. Okay, but if in your soul the turmoil is still present, what you're doing is not enough. Well, I don't have that time. Well, then you set your priorities. We need to get built up sufficiently enough that it penetrates all the way through to our emotions. Do we understand that? We need to get built up sufficiently enough that it penetrates through all the way to our emotions. In that, we know if we have spirituality to a large extent or if we do not. And a person may say, well, I'm naturally emotional. I am Italian, and we Italians are naturally emotional, or whatever it is. I'm Irish, and we Irish have a temper. Or whatever. You know what? None of that makes a hill of beans a difference. The Word of God transcends your ethnic heritage. God's not interested in your ethnic heritage. God is interested in where you stand before Him. And He says to us that we need His Word. And that Word can change our emotions just like it can change everything else about us. So if there's a lot of turmoil in my emotions, that is a sign to me. It's a sign that I need more. And I do what I need to get what I need. In Psalm 26:2, David gave God an unbelievable challenge. He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, try my emotions, and try my frame of reference." That's an amazing thing to say to God. God, scrutinize me, test me, put me through the ringer. You'll see how I'm going to come out. Why was he saying that? Because he was confident in that which he was built up in. He was confident in that which God had given to him. He was confident in his relationship to his Savior. He was confident in what grace had done in his life. And so he's saying, I've got it, God. I mean, yes, suffering is suffering, but I know I'm going to be victorious in that suffering because I have a source for my emotions. And sure enough, he was proven, and in the end, he certainly did come out well. in Lamentations 3:13, the Word of God says that God causes the arrows of His quiver to enter into my reins. God sometimes targets my emotions. What does that do? God will sometimes do things in such a way that it will impact my emotions. He doesn't spare them. He doesn't coddle them. He doesn't try to treat them gingerly. He shoots at them. Why would He do that? Because He wants to test the sort of emotions that they are. Do they stand up under pressure? Do they stand up under difficulties? Do they stand up under people who rub you the wrong way? Who perhaps people who do something that really bugs you, or maybe they say things that are unkind to you. Do they stand up? Do circumstances really bother you? Do you get easily frustrated, or are you easily angered? God will purposely bring things into our lives that'll test these things. Why in the world would He do that? So we would know the condition of our own heart. We need to know the condition of our own heart. Because when He shows me the condition of my own heart, number one, I know I'm right with Him if I am. Or number two, I can make grace adjustments if I'm not. I can start thinking correctly. I can get built up in the areas where I need building up if I'm not. Don't ever treat your emotions passively. I'm not saying make decisions on the basis of your emotions. I'm saying when something happens where the emotions show me something, don't be passive towards the message. In other words, if the message I'm getting from my emotions is that something's wrong in my soul, don't just sit there passively and say, "Oh, I'm having a bad day." No, do something about it. What am I going to do? Get built up in the Word of God. That's your source. If there's something that's specifically challenging you, then get built up in that portion of the Word of God that brings out the categories that you're being challenged in. That those doctrines may minister to you, that they can strengthen you, they can build you up, they can edify you, they can give you healthy emotions. Because those are really the weak spots of my soul. God will test them. When my emotions are bad, perhaps you've noticed this from time to time, circumstances, people, whatever, and like Job 19:27 says, "My reins are consumed within me. My emotions are consumed within me." Have you ever been in that place where everything about your life is just this big emotional tangle? You can't get away from them. You can't get your concentration off of them. You can't stop focusing on it. You can't think straight because of them. Everything's this huge tangle. Well, your reins are consumed within you when that takes place. In 4:19, he was in that position. He said, my bowels," Jeremiah said. "I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war." Jeremiah was terrified. And his fears became an obsession to him. He was constantly obsessing about what he feared. And he could not think straight in that situation. He was pained in his frame of reference. It was making a noise within him. In other words, his fear, his anxiety, his emotions were screaming at him, and they wouldn't stop screaming. Sometimes we all get to that place, where we're perhaps in a place where we feel very vulnerable. Or maybe we're in a place where we feel hurt or rejected. Or perhaps we're in a place where circumstances are extremely difficult or fear-inspiring. Maybe somebody loses their job and they have a family, and now what are they going to do? And these can bring on very strong emotions. And that's a similar thing to what Jeremiah was experiencing. He was experiencing the fear of what he thought would come. because the trumpet for war was blown. Well, what comes is very simple. In Romans chapter 8, the Word of God says that all things are of God, and that all things are for my sake. All things in the original language means all things. That tells me that there is nothing that God has no control over. There is nothing that takes place in my life that God did not permit. And everything that takes place in my life is ultimately for my benefit, for my good. If I see that as my frame of reference, then it redefines all things that happen. In other words, if in my frame of reference, any circumstance that I encounter, anything that happens, I have it established as the foundation of my thinking that this is for my good. Somebody says something unkind, somehow that is for my good. If that's my frame of reference, it completely redefines all my circumstances. It will also redefine how I think about my circumstances and how my emotions respond to my circumstances. When you think about things, always think in the promises of God. Always think with the love of God. Always think with the grace of God. Always think through mercy. Always think with forgiveness. Always think with God's unyielding favor of you. Always think with those things, because those things are the reality. Something bad happened. How do you know it's bad? Because look at it. I lost my job. Maybe that was good. Well, how can that be good? I got to feed my family. Maybe God has something for you, and He'll take care of your family, and He's got something for you in His eternal plan, whereby something beautiful is going to happen to you as a result of that. But I lost my job. Well, your job wasn't the end all. Whenever I recognize that God is for me in all my circumstances, and I mix faith with that, it'll start to cover my emotions. Why do people get angry? Because they think they're going to lose something. That something's going to go against them personally. Why do people get depressed? Because they think they're losing something, that something's wrong, like life is hopeless. These are all emotional conditions that have the same root. Anxiety is the same way. Frustration is the same way. The root is that I'm not mixing faith with God's faithfulness. I'm not mixing faith with the promises of God. I'm not mixing faith with the character of God. And when I don't mix faith, my emotions take a beating. But when I do mix faith, maybe I'm not mixing faith with the way that God sees me. You see people with perhaps self-image problems. Or perhaps they think that people aren't treating them right. Those are often self-image problems. With problems seeing their own value as a believer. They're not mixing faith with what God has said. Well, when I mix faith with what God has said, my emotional problems are taken care of. Because that which is initiating the negatives to them is removed, and now there's a positive initiation to those emotions, and they will respond positively to the positive initiations. Now, Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6:12, "You are not straitened in us," and by straitened he means tested in your emotions, squeezed in your emotions. He said, "You're blaming us for your emotional responses in negativity. But you're not straightening us. It's not us that's causing the problems." He said, "You're straightened in your own emotions." He said, "Your problem is your emotions. Your problem has nothing to do with us." Well, likewise, nowadays, my problem is not somebody else. Somebody else does not cause my emotions. My problem is actually in the emotions themselves. And the problem is that they have a wrong root. They're responding to the things that are not the things of God. They're not responding to the promises of God. The character, the faithfulness, the whole nine yards, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God, the empathy of God. They're not responding to any of those things. They're not responding to what God said about me. They're responding to something totally different. Well, circumstances in this world are always going to be such that something negative can happen at any time. Satan will ensure that, and he is the god of this world system. But that's not my problem. The only reason why I may have a negative emotional response to, let's say, another person and what another person does is because I haven't kept my emotions. And I haven't kept my emotions because I haven't properly taken care of my frame of reference. The only reason why God allowed that person or that situation or whatever is to reveal to me the condition of my heart or the condition of my soul, the condition of my thinking, the condition of my relating to Him. When that condition is revealed, I can make adjustments. So God will not accept me pointing my finger, well, you make me angry or you do this. No, forget that. That's not going to fly with God at all. God's going to say the problem isn't them, the problem is in your own heart. Your own frame of reference wasn't taken care of. Take care of your frame of reference. It reminds me of that passage where Jesus said, you know, you point out the speck in somebody else's eye, but you haven't seen the beam in your own eye. The reason why they couldn't see the beam in their own eye is because beams blind you. They were blind to it. And often emotional conditions like that are going to be blind spots for us. Often people who are very critical or very negative or very sarcastic, perhaps, they're completely blind to it. Not everybody, but many people are. If a person is self-righteous and mix one of those things with it, they will be completely blind to anything that is negative in that. They'll see it as perfectly reasonable thinking. And in their own mind, they're just being helpful. When the fact of the matter is their whole frame of reference was shot, that criticism, that sarcasm, those things that would inspire those kind of things, those were indicators. And those emotional responses that they have are indicators. Not to condemn, not to judge, not to weigh them down, but to liberate them. Because they're already in bondage to those things. That's why they're having these emotional responses. But if I recognize what things are for what they are, instead of emotional responses, I'll see them as simply God's signs regarding my state. He'll give me a stop sign or a yield sign, or sometimes He gives me a go sign. But it gives me these signs, these indicators of my own state, so that I will grow. Not so that I'll be condemned, but so that I will grow, so I can make those adjustments in my thinking, in my frame of reference, in what I'm receiving and how much I'm receiving, and so on. In Psalm 7 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and the emotions." Now, this is an amazing connection. Let the wickedness of wicked come to an end, and then God tries the heart and the emotions. Now, the key to this passage is the word wickedness. That's the Hebrew word ra, and it means to be sad or unhappy, unkind, bad, unpleasant, disagreeable, malignant, or evil. And the evil there is not evil necessarily like we think of evil nowadays, but it's hurtful or giving pain, unhappiness, or misery. So he says, let the sadness or unhappiness or unkindness or the disagreeableness or the unpleasantness, the malign quality, the hurtfulness, that misery of those who possess it come to an end. Let it come to an end. But establish the just, for the righteous God tries the heart and the emotions. If I have those qualities in my life, then they are emotional qualities. But there's another thing that he points out here, and that's establish the just. That means that those people who have healthy emotions are those who are well oriented to the finished work. The just is always well oriented to the finished work. And so a person who is well oriented to the finished work is going to be someone who has very good emotions. They won't have this sadness or unhappiness. They won't be disagreeable. They'll live in the fruit of the Spirit. They won't be malignant. They won't be the type of person who's finding fault in somebody and then repeating it to somebody else. These are people who are always looking at the finished work. Let me ask you something. Do you look at the finished work toward yourself and toward other people as a practice? People who learn how to see everything through the finished work are people who have removed the negative things that come against the emotions. But if I have not learned how to filter everything through the finished work, then I will be very critical. Then I will be very touchy. Then I will be somebody who everything gets on my nerves. Then I will have these problems. Why? Because of the wrong frame of reference. Learning that I have the wrong frame of reference is useless unless I learn how to deal with it. Correct the frame of reference. Get built up in the Word of God, in the finished work, and start mixing faith with it. Start receiving it more and more. Eat up every message you can that pertains to the finished work. And it'll change your frame of reference in that area. Now here's the catch. We say get built up, and we need to. But there has to be a quality of humility in a person's life in order for them to be able to get built up. Not that they wouldn't listen to something or read something. It's just that they want mixed faith. Who is the one that grows? The one who is able to really hear. The one that is able to hear is the one that is humble. The Word of God says, but the humble will hear and be glad. Who is it that's going to be Spirit taught? Is it the person who gets hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of doctrine? Well, that's helpful, but that may not do the trick. The meek will he teach. Meekness is simply humility toward God. What we think of as humility is simply humility toward somebody else. I won't hear if I'm not humble because I won't receive from you. I won't be taught if I'm not humble toward God because I won't receive from Him. This element of humility is required in a person to have these healthy emotions. The second part of it is that a person who is proud is invariably oriented to self. That will block out my ability to receive from God. But when I become God-oriented and not self-oriented, then that will establish my ability to receive from God. We need both humility and its expression of God orientation in order to have these healthy emotions through being built up in categories of doctrine. So we need the complete package. We can't just say, well, I'm listening. You may be listening, but is it profiting you? If it's not profiting you, then there's something else in there that needs some resolution. It may be humility. It may be faith. It may be anything that is along the spectrum that we need in order to get that profit, to get that building up quality, to get that edification. If I'm receiving and not getting built up, it's an indicator that I need an adjustment. And I have to ask the Holy Spirit, what adjustment do I need? And ask it honestly and openly, not in condemnation, He won't condemn you. But in an open willingness that whatever He shows you, you respond to. And then you're going to get somewhere. Because God will show you. He will show you. In Isaiah 11:5, the Word of God says, righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. It's not talking about God, it's talking about people. Righteousness will be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness will be the girdle of His reins. Girdle is really talking about covering for the waist and the hips. When they gird themselves, they're girding themselves for action. Loins speak of strength and reproduction. Reins, again, speak of the emotions. So, faithfulness will be the girdle of our reins. Well, that word faithfulness is emuno, and it's firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, and steadiness. In other words, I am prepared in my emotions for whatever comes through being steadfast and firm in the Word of God. The Word of God will cover my emotions. Now, let me ask you something. When you've received the Word of God and you go home, do you apply the Word of God in your thinking? It's easy for me to receive the Word of God, but then to not apply the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, do you start to think with the Word that you have received? At first, that's going to seem awkward to people who aren't accustomed to that. But before long, it will be very easy to do it. If we do not, we need to start practicing that. Start thinking with the Word that you have received. I'm not saying get into the law. I'm not referring to the law in any way, shape, or form. I'm talking about doctrine. Do we apply doctrine in our lives? We need to. Doctrine is the key to correct thinking because it is the mind of Christ for all the circumstances of our lives. We must apply doctrine to our own thinking process. If we don't apply doctrine to our own thinking process, none of this is going to be of any benefit. So we must apply doctrine to the thinking process. This is why Jesus gave that parable of the sower. Of some sowed on thorny ground and some sowed on hard soil, and so the devil came and stole some away, and all of those people walked away having heard the same message but not having received its benefit, except for the one who had the fertile soil. The fertile soil is fertile because of humility and availability and then application. Application must take place. If the Word of God is sown, it will not germinate without application. The application is the germination. We must apply the Word in our lives, not as a law, but as a thought. My thoughts become based in God's Word. How does that work practically? I see a circumstance and I ask myself, what does the Word of God say in it? Keep in mind that none of this takes place without the full canon of Scriptures. In other words, all the categories. I don't just point to one category, I turn to all the categories. Why? False balance is an abomination. So I see, let's say something goes wrong. Okay, well, I turn to the category of God's faithfulness. I turn to the category of dealing with fear. I turn to the category of God fighting my battles. I turn to the category of God providing all my needs. I turn to the category of faith rest. All the categories. And they provide this nice, healthy foundation for the emotions to be established on, so they're healthy and not suffering emotions. Proverbs 23:16, the Word of God says, "My reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things." In other words, I hear the preacher preach the message from God, and my emotions are built up. My emotions become healthy. My emotions are taken care of. Now, that's not a once and for all effect. That's something that I need to continuously keep doing. In Proverbs 139:13, "For thou hast possessed my reins." He's talking to God. "You have possessed my reins." The word possessed there is kana. It means acquire, obtain, buy, or create. You have obtained my emotions. God has obtained my emotions. How does God attain my emotions? "Well, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn thee," in Jeremiah 31:3. The goodness of God causes people to repent, in Romans chapter 2. God's forgiveness is immeasurable. The grace of God, all the things that are of the kindness, the compassion, the faithfulness, the goodness of God, those are the things with which my emotions are obtained by God. And then in Colossians 3:2, "I can set my affections on things above and not on things of the earth, because my affections have been obtained by God." Then I feel safe setting my affections on things above. See, if I don't know the character of God, I'm not going to feel safe with that at all, because I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I'm setting my affections on things above, but here on the earth, I'm going to get fried. Well, you don't know the character of God then. The character of God is such that setting my affections on things above takes care of all the things on the earth. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," Jesus said, "and all of these things will be added unto you." Not just some of them, all of them. You look toward the kingdom and the kingdom will take care of you. And it's not just a spiritual thing, it's a temporal thing. "My God shall supply all my needs," not just my spiritual needs, all of my needs. But I won't be able to do that unless I trust His character, and I won't know His character apart from the Word. And I won't know what to trust Him in, even if I do trust Him regarding His character, without the promises of God. So I go to the promises of God, I go to the character of God, I put them together, and this is what I think with concerning all my circumstances. Some things challenge you, take a promise from God, mix it with the character of God, mix it with faith, and answer your circumstance. You may not be able to do anything about your circumstance, but you can most definitely give it an answer. "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world." There's your answer. And so this takes care of our emotions. In Psalm 16, verse 7, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins will instruct me in night seasons." In other words, we can get to this place where in the dark times of our life, our emotions do the instructing, because they're constantly responding to the right source. And in responding to the right source, they're instructing me in my attitude. They're instructing me in my responses. See, that source of the emotions is crucial for us. And the problem that people have is that they don't have the right source for their emotions. And that can come through a number of reasons. It can come through a lack of getting built up. It can come through a lack of faith. It can come through a lack of humility. But in one way or another, whatever the lack is, There's a lack if I'm having wrong emotions. That is the indicator. And so I identify the problem and then I turn to the solution. And if I'm saying, okay, the problem is I'm fearful. Take all the promises of God regarding His love for me and His ability to take care of me and how He fights my battles and how He puts a hedge around me and how nothing can touch me that He doesn't allow. All these things. But maybe they still don't build me up. Okay, is there a quality of humility? Whereby the meek will He teach. Whereby I understand that what God has said is the absolute reality. It is truth, but it's reality. I need to get to that point where I understand what God has said is the absolute reality. And it is. And when I start to rest in that reality, and I start to stand on that reality, and I start to trust that reality, I'll see God come through for me. And He'll come through for me in ways that I wouldn't expect. He'll come through for me at times I wouldn't expect. But He will always come through for me. Why? I'm purchased. If God didn't spare His own Son, what's He going to withhold now? I'm purchased. The blood was the price of the purchase. It's a high price. That means I really am precious in His eyes. Because He purchased me with the most extraordinary price that has ever existed. The blood of God, the Son. I'm purchased. Well, if that's my value to God, I will be extremely well taken care of. And it doesn't matter what I do. Because if I'm a believer, I've been purchased. Put on, therefore, in Colossians 3:12, as the elect of God, as those that are purchased, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Emotions of mercy. Emotions of compassion and empathy and understanding. You see somebody who's struggling, you see somebody who's perhaps immature, you see somebody who's suffering in some way, or perhaps you are in that place yourself. Put on the emotions of mercy. Why? Why emotions of mercy? Why not something else? Because the character of God in 1 Corinthians 13:4 starts with mercy. And mercy establishes the foundation for the fullness of God's character. It's always followed by kindness because the patience of God is expressed in His mercy. And so you put this on and you live in this. The first one, mercy. Mercy of God toward yourself. That takes care of all my problems. Mercy of God toward yourself and mercy of God toward others. That takes care of all your relationships. So your problems, your circumstances, your problems from your relationships, they all get taken care of with this mercy component in the emotions. Put it on. And your emotions will be renewed. Amen?